Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. Anyway, commenting more about the conflict between Palestine and Israel, and it's now emerged, well, according to the Israeli government, that hundreds of, well over 300 Israelis have been killed, and there are hundreds more wounded, some of whom unfortunately will likely succumb to their wounds. Now, then it's said that some claims up to 600 Israelis killed. Now it's said that by the Palestinians that 413 Palestinians have already been killed by Israeli air attacks on Gaza. So Israel was always going to seek to exact massive vengeance on the Palestinians. So Gaza is a very densely populated area. It's only something like 24 miles by 6 miles. At 6 miles at its widest point, sometimes even narrower than that. So Hamas are in amongst the civilian population. But remember, Hamas is a political party. It means Islamic resistance movement. It was elected in 2005, and then the United States government decried it, refused to engage it. Richly ironic, given that George W. Bush's administration was demanding democracy in the Middle East, and Hamas was one of the only fairly elected governments in the entire Arab world. Since then, they've largely shut down the other political parties in the Gaza Strip, but they don't rule the West Bank because, you know, there's a Palestinian Liberation Organization, got numerous factions like Fatah, Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, and so on. I don't think Hamas is actually in that. So Hamas is explicitly religiously inspired. It's not just secular nationalism or socialism that drives them. So Palestinians will say that Palestine is a nation recognized by over 100 other sovereign nations, which have full diplomatic relations with Palestine. There's a nation by any definition, and every nation has an army. Palestine being no exception, is entitled to defend itself, just like Israel claims the right of self-defense. But the one thing is there are laws of war, and willfully killing civilians is a war crime. And both sides have done that in this conflict. And I know the Hamas will probably say, well, Israeli men up to 50, most of them are military reservists. So, you know, they're targets, legitimate targets. Most women are not, though. Okay, most Israeli women have done 2-year military service earlier on. But some people were killed, well, blatantly children. Some were geriatrics. So this argument doesn't wash. Anyway, it's all a very dispiriting scenario. And I'm afraid to say Palestine is not going to come out on top. I mean, not that I want Israel to be wiped out, not that I want Palestine to be wiped out. Most obviously, historic Palestine is now part of Israel. But all right, borders change. Israel's right, got a right to exist, and so does Palestine. But they will both invoke this right to self-defense. So Iran is the main armorer and funder of Hamas. And it really, Israel's been caught napping. It's hugely humiliating for Israel. You know, the Mossad, the Institute for Special Tasks, its main intelligence agency, Shin Bet and so on, they have really failed spectacularly. And so the Israeli government will try and divert attention from that by absolutely bludgeoning the Palestinians insensible, obviously cutting off water, electricity, gas, food supplies already, which will, you know, it will be collective punishment, hit a lot of civilians and so on. So, you know, it makes no sense to accuse the other side of targeting civilians when you do exactly the same thing. Now, Israel's got the latest technologies, often likes to boast, and it can have some pinpoint strikes, and they sometimes do that, but sometimes they don't. And I know things go wrong occasionally, but some of it, at least some of it's got to be at least deliberate malice. The Goldstone report produced by a South African judge who is himself Jewish and I think a soi-disant Zionist, and he castigated the government of Israel for the massively disproportionate use of force against Palestinians in 2009, killing hundreds of Palestinian civilians. And often the ratio is for every one civilian, Israeli civilian killed, there'll be dozens, if not more, Palestinian civilians killed. So often it really is an overreaction. I remember the previous Prime Minister of Israel saying, how proportionate would your response be if your child's bedroom was threatened with a missile? Well, it's a question you could put to the Palestinians as well. Well, especially because far more of their children are killed. And the Palestinians don't have these state-of-the-art weapons, which, you know, laser-guided missiles or whatever, which are going to be very accurate in hitting their targets. Anyway, it's all most dispiriting, and an awful lot of innocent people are going to get killed on both sides. Now, Iran, obviously, is a 90% Shia country. The Palestinians are mostly Sunni, about 95% Sunni, about 5% Christian. There are virtually no Shia Palestinians. So Iranians would say, Gedeon, shows that we're not anti-Sunni. The Sunni world has largely abandoned the Palestinians. Saudi Arabia or whatever, or Syria, or various other countries that used to help them out, they've long since ceased doing so. And there seems to be a rapprochement between Saudi Arabia and Israel. Saudi Arabia has never recognized Israel, but Mohammed bin Salman, who's effectively the ruler of Saudi Arabia for the past several years, since his father's been incapacitated, he said, yes, of course, Yehudim, the Jews, they're entitled to a homeland as well. You know, maybe we'll recognize Israel. Would that cause too many eruptions in Saudi Arabia? Things change quite a lot. That'd be too much for some Saudi Arabians to stomach. But they are eventually going to recognize Israel. It might not be this year, but within 5 years, very likely, because other Gulf Arab countries have done it. Qatar and Oman did it in the late 90s. Bahrain has done it. The United Arab Emirates has recently done it. So it's just a matter of time. And they can get useful intelligence on various Islamist groups that these governments wish to extirpate. And the trade advantages are both direct flights between Israel and the United Arab Emirates and so forth. But the real thing is to gang up on Iran. So Saudi Arabia is the big daddy of the Sunni world. Iran's the big daddy of the Shia world. Is very happy with a Shia-dominated government in neighboring Iraq. Of course, they had a war that killed 1 million people between the 80s, is battling to bolster the Syrian government of Bashar al-Assad with the Islamic, with the Iranian Revolutionary Guard there, winning, backing the Houthi rebels in Yemen unsuccessfully. And there's a proxy war in Yemen between the Saudis and the Iranians, a proxy war in Syria between the Saudis and Iranians, and in Iraq, formerly a proxy war between them. So the Saudi Arabians unofficially supporting ISIS, you know, Daesh, the Islamic State in Iraq and al-Shams. But Israel's very concerned about the alleged Iranian nuclear program. 10 years ago, Benjamin Netanyahu said the Iranians were 90% of the way there. Come on, if they were, why haven't they got it now? I've been hearing this for over 30 years, that it's a minute to midnight, that Iran is about to develop nuclear weapons, and it never, ever happens, like a doomsday count, this, you know, doomsday cult, this final countdown. Apparently goes back to the 70s when the Shah of Iran, a Western ally, was trying to develop nuclear weapons. So Iran says we're trying to develop civilian nuclear energy, not nuclear weapons. Those can be turned into nuclear weapons. Obviously, there's a joint comprehensive plan of action where Iran, under United Nations supervision, with a quartet behind it, agreed to these onerous inspections, and that they were only going to enrich a certain amount of uranium. We're absolutely not developing nuclear weapons. The United Nations, and indeed the United States itself, said that the Iranians were abiding by this with scrupulosity. President Trump himself twice extended the Iran deal, but then the U.S. tore it up for extraneous reasons, reneged on it, and showed bad faith. And the Iranians said, "Fine, we'll enrich more uranium." Now the sanctions have hurt them, but they've circumvented these. They've been working with sanctions on and off for 20 years. But this might destroy attempts to develop relations between Israel and Saudi Arabia. The Saudi Arabians feel a great emotional pull for their fellow Sunni Arabs, the Palestinians, and they think they can't let this go unchallenged. It would be a really bad look for Saudi Arabia to establish diplomatic relations with Israel right now, to gang up on them with Iran. So the Israelis might want to fly across to bomb Iranian nuclear installations. They launched this attack at Osirak in Iraq in the early 1980s when Saddam Hussein was allegedly trying to develop nuclear weapons. Was that illegal? Many would say so. But in order to get to Iran, they got to overfly either Iraqi airspace or Saudi Arabian airspace, actually airspace of other countries like Syria and or Jordan on the way. Now, would these countries allow them to because they're threatened? I mean, Iraq's air force and air defense is actually said to be nugatory. They can't really afford good ones. Saudi Arabians might let them, might even join them in joint attacks, or just get the Saudi Arabians to do it. So we shall see. But I think it's going to certainly make it very awkward for Tel Aviv and Riyadh to establish diplomatic relations this year, especially as presumably the Israeli Defense Force is going to be absolutely hammering the Palestinians and kill thousands of civilians, I wouldn't doubt, before the month is out. I really wish that weren't the case. It's probably going to happen. But, you know, Hamas are hopelessly outgunned. And how on earth did they manage to smuggle all this in to prepare this and to launch these attacks? So the head of Mossad will probably go, and really, Netanyahu's got to carry the can. He failed. He's the ultra hawk. He's the security man. He has failed. But so he will try and distract attention from that, you know, and clean up his reputation with the blood of Palestinian civilians. Right. Thank you so much for watching, and make sure you go on to George Mile on my website, subscribe on Patreon to get access to things behind the paywall. Goodbye.